The part of Luke chapter 8 speaks about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 weeks ago, we were looking at, you know, Jesus' power over the storms, or in other words, over creation, over nature. And today, I thought we will spend some time looking at Jesus' power over the evil one, Satan, right? And lastly, when you look at the last part of Luke chapter 8, it speaks about Jesus' power over miracles, power over sickness. I like A.B. Simpson, because one of the things of the fourfold gospel is Jesus is our healer. Simpson believed not only on the physical healing, but also on the spiritual healing that God can give us. So today we want to spend some time looking at the passage that was just read to us. I want to call it as a transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's spend some time in prayer and ask God to help us. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can look at your word and to discover who Jesus is. What manner of man is this? Lord, we pray, God, as we read your scriptures, O God, we will be filled with awe, that we will know, Lord, that this Jesus is real. And he wants to work in our lives. There are moments in our life, O God, that we struggle. We want help. And we realize, O God, it's only Jesus who's able to help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think all of us have some kind of desires in life, right? We always desire. In every stage of your life, when you are a kid, you know, you desire, you want to be good in your cards. And I remember the young kids, they play different kind of cards because they desire to be powerful. They want to be achievers. Like, as they grow older, they are into games, gaming and all that, right? There's some kind of a desire to be outstanding, to do better than the other person. That's some kind of inner drive in the person. Then we see, you know, as they age, you know, there are different desires in life. In your workplaces, yes, we desire, right, to climb our career ladder. We want to be there. We want to achieve our ambitions. There are desires in our lives too. I'm not saying that all desires are wrong. Many a times I think it could be the pressures of the society, or the things that, you know, we face each and every day. There are moments in our life that we struggle to, right? Maybe we struggle with certain sins in our life. We feel, you know, I've been praying hard and God to help me. But we desire, but I realize that we need a greater power to help us, a greater power to redeem us. If you realize, you know, our desires change because something greater is there. A child doesn't continue with playing cards alone. They desire, you know, someday to drive a car because there's an urge in him. There is a strong desire in the particular child. As they grow up, there is, you know, no more playing of cards or games. There is a desire to have things, probably, you know, the way people are having things. So there's some kind of desires that's happening. So even in our Christian life, there are desires. We want help, right? We want to be released. We want to live a life. I think all of us want to live a life of perfection, right? We want to progress, mature, and grow in our Christian faith. But there are some things that actually hold us back. I want to show a video clip probably some of you have seen in this Jesus movie. And maybe some of you might say, this is not relevant, but it's an extreme kind of a thing. Maybe it's in this part of the world, particularly in intellectual circle, you know, this is not really talked about, right? It's an event that just took place, as Leah was reading today. I just want you to have a view of what happened in this particular passage. Let's see that for a moment.
They sailed on over to Gadara, which is across the lake from Galilee.
Look. son of the Most High God. What do you want with me? I beg you, don't punish me.
What is your name?
Legion. Lord, we beg you, do not send us into the abyss. Let us enter into the herd of swine.
Hey! Come back!
Stop! Stop!
And the demons went out of the man and into the pigs.
From here! You magician! Leave us! Go away from this place! Leave us! Go away from here!
I'll follow you wherever you go. Let me come with you.
Go back home and tell what God has done for you.
Just to recap what we just saw, I think all of us are very familiar with this movie and this event that took place in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes, you know, in a circle like this, particularly in the modern world, this is not acceptable. In other words, you know, probably you say, yes, it happened in the past, right? Maybe it doesn't happen nowadays. There are two kinds of views, my friend. One view is, you know, it is not going to happen in these days. All these events actually doesn't take place in this time and age. But there is another school of thought that says, you know, yes, God continues to heal people. God continues to deliver people. There are people who are demon-possessed. You know, when I was reading or speaking this particular passage, I'm just not preaching from this particular passage. My wife and I have been involved in Singapore. It's a very religious society. And we have seen people, and we have seen God delivering people from the clutches of the evil one. You know, it's interesting because in that part of the world, you will see, you know, people are involved in so many things. Black magic is one of them, right? And you will see a lot of things happening. And you need to be very careful in the places in that part of the world. And so we have seen, we have experienced it, and it's real. But in this part of the world, it's something new. It's like a movie, right? It's like a Hollywood movie. It happens in the movie theaters. But let me tell you, Satan is very subtle, my friend. Right? He knows how to work and how to react these days. You know, when I was looking at this story of this man, I believe it did not happen just suddenly in his life. It is not that he was born with this kind of problem in his life, born having this demon in him, an extreme kind of a position. I don't think so. It really happened in his life. I believe it was a small steps. It started with some kind of addiction, right? And it became part of his behavior. And then slowly it became part of his character. And that's how Satan makes a person, my friend. He started having some kind of baby steps in his life. Today when you talk to people who are having addictions, you know, they will say, I was not like that before. I was influenced by someone. I was told to try. The trying became something very permanent in their life. Addictions, various kinds of addictions that we see. But, you know, God is able to help us. Whatever addictions, whatever difficulties that we might have, whatever thing that we struggle and we say, Lord, I need help. I need victory because I'm struggling with this issue in my life. Lord, I've been praying hard that this sin of mine, this practice of mine, this habit of mine, this adverse attitude of mind will be gone, and the Lord is able to help us. And I know this part of the world, you know, it's you know, sometimes a bit difficult to accept. But it's very strange, right? When you look at, you know, we believe in Bigfoot. I was reading about some of the legends, you know, people still believe. Do you know, quarter population of Americans, they believe in Bigfoot? Sometimes I ask myself, they can believe in Bigfoot, but not that Jesus is able to do this, to deliver a person from the clutches of the evil one. They say this is, you know, an old thing that happened in the past. We talk about, you know, flying saucers and all that. We believe in that, right? It started in the 1940s, and people say, you know, the aliens are there. I was reading an article that was released by the University of Oxford. They say the aliens are not really hostile to us. They are like something like us. They almost resemble like us. Right? I'm not saying, you know, that's the way people believe in this, but it's a bit difficult for them to comprehend, even to accept that Jesus is able to cast the evil one, and whether evil still even exists. Do you know in Canada there is a belief, I do not know whether I'm pronouncing it well, Ogopogo, right? It's a lake monster in the British Columbia area. They say it was spotted in 1872. And there are people who still believe. Let me tell you, my friend, the same God, right, is able to do miracles even today. Someone said like this, the days of miracles is not past because the God of miracles is still present. But one thing we need to be very careful, because, and I'm not saying that all our mental illness is equated or equal to demon possession. I'm not saying all our sins are equal to demon possession. But, you know, the devil is very cunning. In the passages we will continue to see how he wants to influence us, how he wants to take us away from loving God. I think that is the primary intention. He doesn't want us to live a godly life. In this particular passage, there are a couple of things that I want to see. Firstly, let's not minimize the power of the evil one. Let's not minimize and say, you know, Satan is just someone in the past. It's real. And he's out there. Firstly, I think we see the power of the evil one in this particular passage. The power of the evil one. Let's turn to the passage that was just read to us. You know, what's happening here, right? In verse 26, Jesus is coming to the region of the Gazarene. When I was looking at it, I was just asking myself, what's interesting about Jesus, right? He's coming to this place, and he's coming just to see this particular man. That's all. He comes for that one particular soul, and he meets him, delivers him, and Jesus leaves the place. Jesus could have gone to many other places, but that's the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes. But let's look at the passage. It says that this man, right, when Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. Immediately, this man comes. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes and lived in a house and had lived in the tomb. Can you imagine the kind, right? He has been living in the tombs. No one wants to live in the tombs. That's been his dwelling place. That's his home. Probably he started, you know, having some kind of addictions in his life, gave in entirely to the evil one, that he became very possessed, that nothing, even the family said, we do not need you. This is not the place that you need to stay. And so finally, the place that he can dwell was the tomb. He was there in the tombs, my friend. I don't know the age of this man, but he was there for a long time. Probably years he was there. What a sad picture, right? Very sad in his life. But what's happening in this particular passage? You know, this is what the evil wants to do in our lives in a very subtle way. This is the thing that he wants to do in our lives. Firstly, we see, you know, and sometimes we might say, you know, yeah, Pastor, this is an extreme case. But let me tell you, it can also happen in the church. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm suspecting something of that nature. It can also happen among believers too. Look at the passage very carefully in Luke chapter 4. It says, in the synagogue, a place where people gathered to hear the word of God, a place where people gathered to engage in the scriptures. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed. The demon-possessed man was the extreme. He was living in the tombs. But here, we see another side of the coin. In the synagogue, in the temple place, where people, the religious people, were gathering, where word of God was taught, the Torah was dealt. A man is possessed by the devil, a demon, an impure spirit. Even there he cried out at the top of his voice. He said, go away. Let's not minimize, right? Let's not minimize. Probably we might not see the manifestations of the evil one in this part of the world, but it happens. We need to be careful. We need to ask ourselves, you know, whether am I leading a life that God wants us to lead? Because that's the motive of Satan, to bring us away from God. Look at the passage very carefully. What happens? What did the evil one do to him? Right? It brings shamelessness in his life. Look at the passage. It says, right, he, for a long time, he has not worn clothes. I believe, you know, when this man, right, was wearing some neat clothes and all that, but then he came to a point, he was not wearing anything and he was shameless. Right? And he lived among the tombs. There was no shame in his life. Probably this is extreme. I think that's what sin does in our life, my friend. Sin dulls our senses. The first time you'll feel, you know, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. Lord, I seek your forgiveness. This is not me. I shouldn't have done. Lord, this is not a practice that your scripture wants me to do. But then it becomes a character. It becomes a habit. And then you lose your senses. In other words, you don't feel shy. It becomes a habit. It becomes your behavior. It becomes your lifestyle. I think that's what sin does in our life. And then we begin to say, like any other person, what's a big deal? Everyone is doing it. What's a big deal? Every friend of mine are involved in such things. It's okay. The society accepts this kind of lifestyle. It's okay with the society. It started like we feel conviction was happening. Then we give in. What's happened, right? We give in. And finally, we don't feel shame about what's happening, the sin. I think that was happening in this person's life. I don't think so. He liked walking naked. I don't think so. It never crossed my mind, but I think that's what the devil wants us to do. Look at some of the addictions that people, they say, you know, that's society is doing it. What's wrong? What's wrong? My friends are doing it. Everyone is doing it. What's wrong? That's how it started. That's how sin dulls our senses. Secondly, what was happening? Look at the sin that was happening, right? It brings self-destruction. It's self-destructive, my friend. Sometimes we say, you know, it's what's wrong and all that. But we think it's freedom. You know, I can be like any other person. I can do whatever, you know, someone is doing. I have the freedom. That's the way, you know, we interpret in the society today. But what has happened, you know, many times it has seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and been driven by the demon into solitary places. What's happening is it's destroying him, right? And if you look at other passages, he was cutting his hand. He was cutting himself. He was destroying himself, my friend. It destroys our life. It destroys our families. It destroys God's plan in our life. It destroys. You might not know, but it's destroying. It destroys. Right? I think once we give us, that's why in a passage we read, you know, don't give a foot to Satan, because he will try to come in and he will start destroying our life. You might think it's a pleasure. It's okay. It's nice to do. Right? It's okay, Pastor. But it destroys your life slowly. And that was happening. It destroyed this man's life. That what was happening, you know, he was just cutting himself. He did not know what he was doing. Thirdly, sin brings spiritual bondage. No one, it says, they seized him. No one could bind him. Can you imagine? They tried to bind him, but he broke the chains. He broke the chains. The sin, you know, brings some kind of bondage, my friend. We think it's freedom. We interpret it as freedom. We think, you know, I can do all these things, the freedom. But no, sin brings bondage. It brings us to that kind of bondage in our life. Drinking, sexual sin, lying, addictions. We think it's freedom. We say it's nice, it's cool, right? But let me tell you, it's not freedom, it's bondage. It brings you under its bondage slowly. It destroys us, my friend. It started destroying him. And that's why Jesus said in John chapter 8, right? I came to give freedom, and the truth will make you free. So we need to be careful. That's the power of the evil one. It's self-destructive. It brings bondage. Right? And that's why James says that, you know, each one of us is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Right? So we need to be careful, because Satan is very smart, my friend. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, in 2 Corinthians, he says, right? But I'm not surprised, he says, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Gone are the days that we think, you know, Satan, black something, he will wear black, you know, with big horns, right, with his tooth coming out, nothing of that sort. He disguises as an angel of light, because he wants to destroy. He wants to destroy our spiritual freedom. He wants to destroy our lives. He wants to make us captive. He wants us to go away from God, loving God, or to be at the presence of God. I want to see the power of the Savior in this particular passage. Jesus, you know, as I said earlier, you know, can you imagine Jesus comes to this place, this town, just to see this one man? Is it worth the cost? Worth the trip? The 12 disciples, they would have stepped to themselves, Lord, we could have gone to some other places because they need us. But we see the power of Jesus, because Jesus wants to reveal his power even in our own life. We might be thinking that, you know, why should I? But God wants to work in our lives, my friend. Firstly, I see the greatness of God, right? His greatness. Look at the passage. Immediately, Satan, right, recognized, or the evil one recognized and said, Jesus did not introduce himself and said, you know, I'm Jesus, I'm the Messiah, the one who has come. Immediately, it says, Jesus, Son of the Most High, God, I beg you, don't torture me. Or in some passages, don't torment me. Immediately, it recognized that Jesus is the Son of the Most High. Yes, my friend, the evil one knows who Jesus is. It knows the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatness that he is the Messiah. He is the God Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega. He knows. He knows who Jesus is. the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Remember, there was an incident in Acts chapter 19, verse 15. One day the evil spirit answered them and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Let me tell you, it knows the power of Jesus. It knows Jesus. So whether the Lord is living in my life, it's not just using the name of Jesus, my friend, but whether Christ have occupied our life. That's important. Our life have been empowered by him because he knows who is in us, who is living in our lives. Whether it's Jesus or we are just in control of our lives. We see the greatness of God, right? It recognizes the Lord Jesus Christ. James talks about it also. He says, even the demons believe that. And they tremble also. Right? Not that they have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe who God is. There is only one God. And they believe that, my friend. My friend, I think we need to ask after, do we believe in the greatness of God? That only God is able to help us in all the things that might be just taking control of our lives, right? And I think once we show the greatness of God, we'll see the power of God happening in our life. Secondly, we also see the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I like the way Jesus is looking at this man, right? And he's asking this man, what is your name? Can you imagine? What is your name? And legion, right? And if you look at the word very carefully, legion is a term that is used. It means there are numerous evil in this particular man. Probably 6,000 and more evil spirits in this man. So for a moment, I was just trying to imagine, right? This man is having more than 6,000 evil ones. You know, the evil one could have said to Jesus, you know, Jesus, you're one guy, but we are 6,000. What can you do? You can't do much to us. We are 6,000 here. We are much more powerful. We are much more greater. But no, my friend, Jesus is much more greater. And we see the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's able to ask, what is your name? You might be 6,000 and more, but Jesus, that's the authority of Jesus. And they also backed Jesus, right? Repeatedly, you know, that's the power, that's the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you to experience the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only Jesus who's able to help us. It's only Jesus who's able to cast the evil out, my friend. Whatever problems it might be, you might be saying, Pastor, you know, I'm struggling with this. It's not light, it's too much in me, but whatever it is, it might be more than a legion, but the Lord Jesus Christ is able to deliver us and help us. Whatever issues, it might be small or big, how large it is God who's able to do that. Do you believe in the power, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ? Lastly, you will also see, not only Jesus is able to cast the evil one, what's happening to this man? Right? What's happening? You see, the power of Jesus transforms. He's not only casting out, but now it's totally different. It's a different scenario. It's a radical change that happens in the person's life, my friend. Today, he was demon-possessed. In a moment, he's totally different. What's happening? He's sitting at Jesus' feet. He has come and realized that I need Jesus to live a life in this world, a God or Christ-driven life. And he's dressed. Wow. And not only that, he's in his right mind. Can you imagine the kind of transformation that happens, my friend? If Jesus is able to transform this man's life, an extreme example, my friend, what about our lives? God can do tremendous things in our life. God wants to do tremendous things in our life. He wants to transform us. He wants to reform us. He wants to empower us. He wants to change our lives, my friend. He wants to do until and unless we say, Lord, you have authority over me. Lord, let me see you as the one who's powerful. Let me see your greatness, O God, and allow your authority, your word to take place in my life. Until and unless we do that, the Lord is not able to. You know, people struggle with their sins. You can't change. It's only Jesus. Until and unless you see his greatness. Until you say, Lord, I just gave it to you. I want you, Lord. Until and unless you say like this, the one who's in me is greater than in the one who's in this world. Lastly, let me finish with this. Also realize we live in a world, there's a lot of unbelief, right? As a church, we want to reach out to people, right? But let me tell you, I think Satan has actually blinded the eyes of many people. What's happening here, if something of this nature happens, can you imagine, right? If we were living in that particular town, right? We would be afraid to walk by the tombs because there is one crazy person here who's walking around, probably running around. People will be afraid. Because he can harm anyone. And Jesus actually have helped this particular village or town. Right? And when they found, it says in verse 35, they found a man from whom the demons have gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet in his right mind. They were afraid. I was asking myself, what were they afraid of? Right? It also says in verse 37, and all the people of the region of the Gerasene, they came. And what did they ask? Lord, leave us. We do not want you to be here. We don't want you to be here. You know, for a moment I was asking myself, they should have easily said, Lord, we want you to be here. There are many more needs that we have. It's only you who is able to help us. But the people in the entire town came to Jesus and said, leave us. They were overcome. They were overcome with fear, my friend. They didn't want this righteous man to deal in their lives. Right? They don't want transformation. They want to continue with the life they want to live. Have you realized there are moments in our life too? Right? Sometimes our friend will say, you know, I like the way you were before. I like the way you were before. And I think, then, you know, you are now different. I like the way you were doing things before. They were like that. They liked the way they were doing things before. They didn't want change in their life. Wherever the disciples went, you know, they were said, they brought the town upside down. That's what the Lord does, my friend. But that is the world that we live because this world is blinded by the evil one. We read it, right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. That's the power of unbelief. Let me tell you, that's going to be a constant struggle for us when we witness to people. It might be our friends or relatives. It's going to be a constant struggle, my friend, because the God of this world has blinded the eyes of many people. But because he is blinded doesn't mean that Jesus is not able to deliver. He is able. He is powerful. And he's able to do that. Not only in our lives, in my life, but in the lives of the society. Sometimes you might say, I do not know whether my friends will change. Right? They've been blind. They are comfortable where they are. But let me tell you, if you believe in the greatness of God, if you believe in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord is able. The Lord is able. Let me finish with a story I read about an event that took place in the life of a general secretary of Zimbabwe. He writes in this about something that happened to him. He was visiting a man who had an addiction of smoking. He was just a chain smoker. I do not know what kind of words. He was just smoking. That was his life. So this general secretary, came to him and said, I want to give you a new testament. And so they gave a new testament to the person. I remember when I was in Singapore and also in the U.S. when we do prison ministry, when Bibles are given, they're very careful because they will make sure every day the pages are still intact, because these pages or papers can be used for other purposes. And so this man told this chain smoker and said, please do not use the pages to make it into cigar and smoke. He said, I'll try. He said, please, at least try to read the New Testament, at least a couple of pages, before you start to smoke. And 15 years later, this chain smoker became an evangelist, and they met. He said, I smoked Matthew. I rolled Mark, and I started smoking Mark. Then I rolled Luke, and Luke was also a good, right? But when I came to John, I came across this verse as I was making it into a cigar. I saw John 3:16, and I saw the love of God. That verse changed my life. I smoked Matthew, I smoked Mark, I smoked Luke, but he can't go further, my friend. The Lord stopped him. That's the love of God. That's the power of God. The Lord is able too, when we engage ourselves in His Word, when we allow His Word to dwell in our lives, when we allow Him and say, Lord, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Jesus I truly give. Maybe we are not like this man, like the extreme. All of us are in sound mind. But there are some things probably we are struggling in our life. We want to overcome. It might be an addiction. It might be a lifestyle issue. A sin that we have been praying and saying, Lord, I need help. It might be a character issue that might be in us, my friend. Do not minimize, because that's the way Satan starts doing. He wants to put a foothold and he wants to work into our life. Only Jesus. Let's pray. Father, if you are able to help this extreme character of God, this man who lost his senses altogether, did not know his purpose, Lord, we know you are able to help. Whatever our issues might be, whatever our struggles might be, whatever thing of God, we are struggling in our life. We want to give it up. We want to surrender. As we read of God, like as James says, the evil desires in us drags us and entices us. Help us, Lord, to see Jesus. Help us, Lord, to surrender ourselves to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to give ourselves and to acknowledge that you are great, greater than the things that we face. We thank you who you are, Lord. In Jesus' name.